We left off before Chanukah on Kuv Gimel Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the last few lines. The Gemara quoted, it says, by Chalitza, v'chol tzanala mi'al raglai. So the Gemara assumes regal means what we call the foot, below the ankle. And then the bone between the knee and the ankle is called mi'al raglai. So as long as the, according to Rashi, as long as menakuva lamata, as long as he has part of the leg, even if the bottom of the leg is chopped off, but he has part of the leg below the knee, so he can do chalitza from that part. Tosfos says that that cannot be. If the leg is twisted, we had the Gemara before, if the leg is twisted, and he doesn't walk normally, can't do chalitza. So if he's missing the whole foot, how can he do chalitza? So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says, no, he has to have the foot with the leg, but when you have the two straps attached to the two sides of the sandal shel chalitza, and then you crisscross in the front of the leg, the back of the leg, front and the back, you go back and forth. So as long as the bow with the knot, everything is below the knee, is good. But if you go to tie the chalitza shoe so high, and the knot with the bow is going to be above the knee, that's what the Gemara says is no good. So the Gemara was asking questions. How can you say that regel means a foot? Don't you see in Biblical Hebrew that regel means the whole leg, from the top of the leg on? That's not called mi'al raglai. So the Gemara says, it says he went mesach es raglov, he went to the Beis HaKisei. So the Beis HaKisei is not, when the person looks at the Beis HaKisei, that's the top of the leg. That's not the foot, that's not the bottom of the leg, below the ankle. Gemara says, Lishne mal yenokat. So, Loshen Nekiyah. Then Gemara had the same question regarding the Pasuk in Shiraz Devaira. It says, when Sisera was the general of the Goyish army, was waging war against the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, he was losing the war, so he ran away. So he ran away to the home of Yoel Eshes Chevra Keni, and she brought him in, and it says, so Shiraz Dvorah says, Ben Ragleha Karat Nafal Shachab, Ben Ragleha Karat Nafal Bashir Shachab, Sham Shachab Shadut. So the Gemara says that he was Mizana with her. She was Mizana with him in order to knock him out and get exhausted, tired. Then he went to sleep, and then she chopped off his head. So the Pasuk uses a Lashon, Ben Ragleha. So that's not, when you have tashmish, that's not in between the feet, that's much higher up. So the Gemara says, Lishne mal yenok, shalosh nekiyah. Pasuk doesn't want to say explicitly. So once the Gemara mentioned that Pasuk, Ben Ragleha, so they have that memra. What the Gemara? Amar Rabbi Yechanan, about five lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Kuf Gimel Amun Aleph, Sheva Bilas Boal Osa Rosh Abos Hayom, the Sisra, the Sar Hatzava was boil Yoel Eshes Chevaken. She was an Eshes Ish. He was boil her seven times. She did it on purpose to knock him out, and she gave him warm milk also to put him to sleep, because it says the word Karash Achav seven times. So the reason why it's repeated seven times that he was boil her seven times. That's why Rabbi Yochanan comments on the pasuk. So the Gemara's bothered with the kasha, the second line from the bottom. Didn't she get Hanoi from the Avera? So what's the problem? Didn't she get Hanoi? Therefore what? So Tosfos and the bottom Tosfos discusses what was the kasha. So apparently there were some Rishonim who understood that the Yoel Eshes Chevra Keni was an Eshes Ish, and you're not allowed to violate Gili Arayis even Mishum Pikuach Nefesh. So the only reason why we assume she was allowed to be Mizana was because she didn't get any Hanoah from it. So the Gemara fact Akash, but she did get Hanoah. So Tosfos says, what does it matter whether she gets Hanoah? She does get Hanoah.
This was an Aveir Lishmo.
It's an Aveir Lishmo, yeah. It was an Aveir. It was Gilei Arayis. What do you mean are the Erlishma? Some Shulchan Aruch, they quote that both by Yoel Eshes Chaver HaKein as well as by Esther. The Esther, the first few times that Esther, according to the Agadata, in the first parak in Megillah, so the Gemara comments on the pasuk Tehilo Lavas that Esther was a Yisayma, Ein Lava Ein, and her uncle Mordechai adopted her, but Tehilo Lavas. So the Gemara has a drasha Al Tikri Basa Labayis and Basa Zuishta that she was married to Mordechai, and then the Rishonim assumed that she was married to Mordechai. And he never gave her a get, and even when she was taken to Beis HaMalchus and she was sleeping with Achashverosh, she never got a get. Why didn't you give a get? So Tesis says, when you give a get, there's going to be a Masira, it's going to become Pirsum, so they were afraid that they're going to kill Mordechai. So he never gave her a get. So how is she allowed to live with Achashverosh? It's Yehoreg Bal Yaver. So the Bali Atosis are bothered with that kasha. So some Rishonim said that's an agarata. That agarata that she was married to Mordechai is not to be taken literally. I don't know what that means. So what does it mean? I don't know. Balamor says like that. An agarata nishkan stir. But Tosis always assumes that all the Gemaras blend in together. So Tosis assumes that she was married to Mordechai. So what happened to the din of Yehoreg Bal Yaver by Gilei Arayis? So Tosis has a big machlokes, the Rabbi Natam and the Rivam. Why was it permissible for Esther to live with Achashverosh? Why didn't we apply the rule of Yehoreg Bal Yaver? So the Rabbi Natam says that Bia Sakam is Lav Shmo Bia. He has a Gemara like that. Vizir Masusim Zir Masam, a Pasuk in Navi. So the Rabbi Natam understands Bia Sakam is Lav Shmo Bia. So there is, strictly speaking, there is no violation of Eishes Ish Shezinsa. Eishes Ish Shezinsa, if she only has a Maisa Bia with the other person, let's say an Eishes Ish dances with someone else, other than a husband, or they're touching each other affectionately, that's not a Maisa Bia, that's Shari Sur. That's a Machlekes, whether it's a Yehoreg Bal Yaver only on Issa Gilei Arayis itself, or even on Abizrayus. So the Rabbi Natam seems to be assuming that since Biyasakim Lav Shma Biya, so they didn't, strictly speaking, they didn't violate Gilei Arayis, and that's why there's no Yehoreg Bal Yaver. And nonetheless, even though Lav Shma Biya, nonetheless, at a certain point, Mordechai recommended to her that she should go to Achashverosh, and she should go plead on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara interprets the pasuk Kasher Avadati Avadati. This time she's going to go, and the Gemara assumes that she's going to be mizana with her husband. So until then, she was considered nensa by Achashverosh. She didn't want to be with him, so it's considered nensa. From that time on, the Gemara says she became asura b'ayla, even though biyasakam lav shema biya. She didn't really do a ma'aser biya with Achashverosh because he's an Ochri, but nonetheless she becomes Asura Baila. How can that be? But an Eishes Ish, she was not Mizan, an Eishes Ish dances with someone else, she does become Asura Baila. So apparently there have been times of the opinion that even a Biasakam Lav Shma Bia, there's no Maisa Bia, but a Maisa Ishus it is. But the Nochri lives with his wife, they live together Kedarch Ish V'Yishto. So that's called the Maisa Isha. So the Eishes Ish Zinsa becomes Asura Baila, not because she violated the Issa Bia, Gilei Arayis. She violated, as the Pasuk say, Amol Amal B'Isha. Amol Amal B'Isha. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote, what if a girl is married and when she went to Beis Yankiv, she was absent that day that they taught Lois Enough? She never heard of that din. So the din is that an Eishes Ish Zinsa B'Shoigeg, she doesn't become Asura Baila, only if Zinsa B'Mezit. So what if it was B'Shoigeg? She never heard of the din of Lysinov. She was absent when they taught those dinim. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Marika, I think, they said in the Shulchan Aruch, the Pasuk doesn't say Mol Amal B'Hashem, she violated another. It says Mol Amal B'Isha, she violated the trust of her husband. So even though she doesn't know that it's an aver, but she knows the person she's sleeping with now, somebody other than her husband, so she becomes Asur al Baila. So that's the same over here by Esther. According to Rabbi Natan, Bia Sakum Lav Shmo Bia, it's not a Maisa Bia, so strictly speaking, she didn't violate Gilei Arayis, But still, she had a Maisa Ishus with someone other than her husband. Her husband, according to the Agadah and Megillah, her husband was, she was married with Ahasuerus, and she had a Maisa Ishus with Ahasuerus out of her own free will. The first couple of times she was bainus, but the next time it was Beratzin. So even though it's Be'asakim Lav Shmo Be'er, she still becomes Asur Al Bailo.
Maisa
Ishus, listen,
somebody goes to a prostitute, is that
Maisa Ishus? That's a Maisa Ishus, a Maisa Bia
also, yeah. So what is that? So what happens then? So she say the same thing, she'd be also on Baila if she'd be married?
Who, an Ishus Ish is Mizana with someone else. If a married man is Mizana with another woman, there is no din, he doesn't become also Alishta. But if the wife is Mizana with someone other than her husband, and she knows that she's doing it, even though she doesn't know, it's b'shoigig the iser. She doesn't realize that there's an iser, but she knows that she's not being faithful to her husband. So that's enough to ask the Bible that says in Shulchan Aruch like that, because as a mo'al mal bisha, it doesn't say mo'al mal bashem. Doesn't depend on the violation of the iser.
Well, why is that considered baratzon? She was doing it for herself as quite well.
But still, she initiated it. She went on her own. She went on her own.
Pikuach nefesh. I mean, she was trying to save lives.
So for Hatzolas Klal Yisrael, that's what we assume. For Hatzolas Klal Yisrael is Mutter, there's no Aveira, but still, she wasn't faithful to her husband. So for Hatzolas Klal Yisrael, we say, Hatzolas, let's say, there's for Pikuach Nefesh, you're not allowed to violate Gili Arayis. What if it's Pikuach Nefesh for a minion of 10 men, of 10 people? So the Pesachei Tshuva quotes that China, there was once a caravan of Jews traveling for business, and a whole group of people, and they were going to kill everybody, the Nochrim were going to kill everybody in order to steal all the money. So one of the Jewish women was started making, becoming friendly with one of the Anasim, and she was Mizana with him, and she saved everybody's life. So the Poskim say that that's not called Hatzolas Klal Yisrael, just because there's a minion of people. Klal Yisrael is literally Klal Yisrael, because Haman was going to have them kill everybody. Anashim, Nashim, Ataf, B'yam, Echad, the whole Klal Yisrael. He was Melech Mehod B'yad Kush, including Eretz Yisrael. He was going to kill all the Jews. The right of the Jews in the world he was going to kill. So if Hatzolas Klal Yisrael, it's mutter to violate Gili Arayis. What's the heter? What's that? They mean, if Klal Yisrael is wiped out, that's called Chilul Hashem. So Chilul Hashem is more important than everything. So even though Mitzad the Yisr of Gil Arayis Pikoch Nefesh is not Matir, but Al Tzolos Chal Yisrael, that's called Chil Hashem, that is Mat. I think the Chazon Ish writes like that. Al Tzolos Chal Yisrael is called Chil Hashem. So the Rabbi Natam says that the reason why was Esther permitted why don't you say you heard Val Yavar? Why don't you say you heard Val Yavar by Esther the first couple of times? It was Gil Arayis, it was an Eshes Ish. So Rabbeinu Tam answers because Bia Sakam Lav Shmo Bia. The Rivam doesn't agree. He says there is no such thing. Bia Sakam Lav Shmo Bia. There is no such Gemara. The Gemara never said that. He says the Gemara just says Zir Masusim Zir Masam. The Gemara says that there's no Yachas between the Nochri and the father and the children. There's no Yachas. Just like it says, Vizir Masusim, just like by Behemoth, there's no Yachas between the father and the Vlodis, between the male and the offspring. So too, by Nochri, there's no Yachas. That's how the Gemara said. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Vizir Masusim Masim. How did Rabbeinu Tam extrapolate from that Gemara that Ein Biyosef Bias? Apparently, Rabbeinu Tam thinks that the only time there's yachas between a father and children, the whole kesher with the father is because he did a maisa bia. Let's say the artificial insemination. So we know that this genetically, this man is the father of these children, but he never had a maisa bia with the woman. So that's a discussion in Ebenezer, Siman Aleph, the end of Siman Aleph. So the Chelkas Mechoikik and the Bishmur, the two commentaries on the side of the page, they both assume. That the blood is misyachas after the father, even if nisabra bambati, even if there was no maisa bia. As long as genetically that's the father, the blood is misyachas. And the Birkei Yosef, the Chidon Birkei Yosef, says he doesn't think that that's right. Maybe he should be machma like that, that a brother and a sister should marry. Let's say someone is a sperm donor, and let's say there are two Jewish women, and there's one man donates sperm to two different women, and one has a girl, one has a boy. So we should be machmer that the brother shouldn't marry the sister. Maybe they are. They don't have the same mother. Is it considered that they have the same father? So genetically, they have the same father. The DNA is like that. They do have the same father. But the question is, al pidin, are they related to the father? So the Birkei Yosef thinks that maybe you should be machmer like the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkas Mechaikik said, that the blood of Nesaf is after the father, based on the genes, genetically, he's the father, biologically, he's the father. But they think that really, the Chidot thinks that al pidin, the blood should not be Mesachzi after the father. That's the Shaila, where, let's say, sometimes you have a couple and they can't have children. They're both Roy Lahoyle, but they can't have children unless they have the doctor do artificial insemination from the husband to the wife. So if the father is a Kohen or a Levi, can the children duchen? Are the children considered Kohen or Levim? Are they Mesachzi after the father? So that's a big shaila. Many hold that not, like a chidah. Many hold the vlad is only Mesachzi after the father, if he does a nice beer. So that's apparently what the Rabbi Natan understood. The Gemara in Yavamas that the Rabbi Natan quotes, Mizir Masusim Zir Masam, that the by the Nochrim, the vlad is not Mesachzi after the father. Gemara never says, Ein Biyosa Biyah. But the Rabbi Natan assumed that the reason why he's not Mesachzi after the father, because Biyas Hakim Kibiyas Beim, and that's why. So he said that that's why there was, strictly speaking, Esther didn't violate the Isser Gili Arayis. She violated an Isser Abizrael of Gili Arayis, Kira Basar, but she didn't actually violate Bia because then Bia also Bia. So this was Maisa Shahoya. There was during the times of the Crusades. The Rabbi Natan almost was killed in one of the Crusades. So during the times of the Crusades, many Jews gave up their lives not to convert to Christianity, and some of them did convert. So there's a maise that the Bali Atosis quote, that there was a woman who converted to Christianity. She was married. She never got a get from her Jewish husband. And then she converted to Christianity, and she lived with the Nachri. So then the husband gave her a get. We assume she's a Surah Bailo. And then the Shaila was, the Christian who married her later on decided to become Jewish. He converted to Yiddishkeit. She became a Balas Tshuva. So now the Shaila is, when an Eish sees she's Zintzo, so she's not allowed to live with her husband, she's not allowed to live with the Boyle. So over here, the Boyle was an Ochri. At the time that she was Mzana with him, the Boyle was an Ochri. So that was a big hullabaloo. It was a big excitement in the days of the Bali Ates. What's the din? If the wife is Chazeres B'tshuva and the husband and the Goyish, the husband converts to Yiddishkeit, is she allowed to marry him or not? So Rabbi Natan said yes, she's permitted to marry him. He's not called the Boyle. He's not called the Boyle because the Bia Sakim, Lav Shma Bia. He's not called the Boyle. So some Rishonim agreed with the Rabbi Natan for that reason. Gershon, originally she did become Asura to the Boyle. But later, when the Boyle converts, he said, "Kotten shenol adami," the whole past is wiped off. He's not the same person that he was before. The Pashtus, most of the Rishonim don't agree with that. Pashtus says that the Gemara only talks about Gershon Nizgak, Kotten shenol adami, with respect to Kurva. That Minatora, brother and a sister, non-Jewish brother and sister, both convert, are permitted to marry together. It's only also Midirabbanan. Why they permitted to marry together, brother and sister? Because Gershon is got Kachin al Dami. Means that he's not related to the relatives. Or Benegeir to Yerusha.
A little too much of a distortion.
Or the Gemara says Benegeir to Yerusha. That if a Nochri converts, then his father, let's say Mr. Trump, passes away. So the question is, his daughter converted. So does she yarshin any money from the father? So the Gemara says, Ben Atara, she doesn't yarshin anything because she's not related anymore. Gershon has got a cut and shenol adami. But the Gemara says, Ben Dirabbana, they made a takana that the ger should yarshin the father because the ger may decide to convert back to the previous religion in order to get the big Yerusha. It's not going to help, strictly speaking, not going to help because cut and shenol adami is not related. Even if the ger is going to convert back to the original religion, also not going to help. But we're afraid that the people, because if there's a lot of money involved, people may want to convert out of the Jewish religion in order to get back the big Yerusha. So they may lose their religious observance. So they made a takana the rabban hefker bez nefker. The ger does yashan the father, but menateri doesn't. Or the gemara has a third case. The gemara says two brothers are posel edus together, posel lahoid against each other, for each other, whatever. But if the two brothers are both gerim, shenis gairu, so the din is kikotin shenar ladami, they're not related, and even with the rabbanon, it's mutter. They're kosher lahoid. By kroivim, let's say a brother and a sister are allowed to marry medatorah by medrabban, they're not allowed to marry. So Gemara gives two different reasons why medrabban is a concern. But by two brothers, the Gemara said there's nothing to worry about because Kabbalah says there's always bitnei bezin. So the bezin knows the din, bezin won't make any confusions. Bezin knows the din of katan shenal dam. So the only time the Gemara ever applies ruba the ruba of the Gemaras, the Gemara only applies the idea of katan shenal dam with respect to the ger, shenis gair, that he's no longer related to his previous relatives. But here we're trying to say, ger shenis gair, shenal adami, not that he's not related to his previous, we're trying to say the whole past history is wiped off. She did become asura to the nochri, because he's the boil, but shenal adami, when he converts, his whole past history is wiped off. So most of the Rishonim hold that there is no such thing. You don't say the past history is wiped off. But there is a group of Rishonim, a small group of hold like that. So there are, and this was a big machlokes in Ksubas. You have in the beginning of Ksubas, Daf Gimel on the base, I think. Tyson has this machlokes, and in Sanhedrin they have this machlokes. So the Rabbi Natam said that the woman is permitted if the Nochri will convert now, so there's no Issa Leboil because he is, strictly speaking, he's not the Boil. She didn't really violate Gilei Arayis. So the Rivam disagrees with this Rabbi Natam. He holds that there is no such din of Bia Sakhm Lav Shma Bia.
So can she go back to her original
husband? Esther?
No, this woman
that... Oh, no. She's not, no, because that everyone agrees that Bia Sakhm asks to the husband. Even the Rabbi Natam holds that Bia Sakhm Lav Shma Bia, so he's not called the boil, or doesn't ask it to the boil. But it is a Maisa Ishus. So that's a Mala Malbi Isha. That's a Mala Malbi Isha. To ask to the husband, you don't need a Maisa Bi. You just need a Maisa Ishus. So in Metzias, there was a Maisa Ishus there. Al Pidin, you don't consider it a Maisa Bi. So you say she didn't violate Lysinov. But still, she had a Maisa Ishus for someone else. So that asks Labaila. But the Rabbi Natavis Machanis doesn't ask it to the boil. So the Rivam disagreed with Rabbi Natan. He said that the woman is not allowed to marry the goy who converts. So there is an Issa Leboil. There is an Issa Leboil. So that was a big machlokes. Yeah. So here, getting back over here, what was the Gemara's question? Didn't she get Hanoya from the Tashmish, the seven times Tashmish? So Rabbi Yechai quotes the name Rabbi Shimon Chai. No, she didn't get Anah. Called to Rosh Mishal Sharma, he ate Tzadi. So she didn't get Anah. What's the issue? She did get Anah, she didn't get Anah. What's the Shaila? So Taisus is alluding to it. The bottom Taisus is alluding to a pshat that they're rejecting. There must have been some Balei HaTaisus who understood that the issue was, why didn't the din of Yehoreg Vayavar apply? Because usually in a Maisa Bia, the male is the one who is actively engaged. The Isha is passive. If the Isha is passive, so let's say whenever you give Malkus, so we have a rule that a Lav Shema Maisa ain't like Molov. So let's say a Kohen sleeps with a Grusha, a person is Boal Achoisei. So there's Malkus over there. So I understand the male gets Malkus, he did a Maisa Tashmish, the female was passive. So it should be a Lav Shema Maisa. So the Gemara in Baba Kama says, no, the Pasuk says, V'nichrasu anafashas ha'osos mikerav ha'mam, rachmana achshav e'la maisa. The Torah considers it as if both the male and the female, as if they both did a maisa. So some Rishonim apparently understood, rachmana achshav e'la maisa, because she has hanoeh b'shas de tashmish. So that was the Gemara's kasha, k'masanya me'averish, didn't she get hanoeh? So if she got hanoeh, Then it's a Maisa Averis, and then it should be Yehoreg Vayavar. So the Gemara says, no. Kol Tavos and Shor Shor and Rahi Eksan, she didn't get Hanoa. So therefore it's Ein Bo Maisa. Therefore it's Ein Bo Maisa. So therefore there's no Yehoreg Vayavar. So Taisus doesn't like that pshat. Taisus says, Lekel Mem Leparach HaMai Lamasu Nafsho. See, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it says on this side, Sanhedrin, Ayin Dal. Gemara Sanhedrin says, there are a few dinim of Yehoreg Valyabo. He said, V'hafta Hashem lecha b'chol nafshecha afilo noitales nafshecha. When afilo noitales nafshecha, and every people drive to the hospital on Shabbos when they're having a baby. When someone is in an accident, you eat on Yom Kippur if you're sick, and you drive to the hospital. So, what do you mean? So what do you mean that afilo noitales nafshecha? So the Gemara says, no, usually the rule is p'koch nefesh is decha kol atar kula. But you have three exceptions to the rule. We pass in all three avodas, zogalavai shvichas damim, and then any other avera, if it's violated b'farhesia, b'fnei asorim in Israel, you say yehoreg v'yavo, or if it's an avera, even if it's violated b'tzina, but it's a shas gzeres hamalchus, the government makes a gzera, so that's also, it'll become well known, it'll be publicized, the goyim will publicize it, so that's also considered b'farhesia. So then you say yehoreg v'yavo. So the Gemara asked Akasha, Esther was living with Achashverosh, that's an intermarriage. A Jewish girl is living with a goy, that's an avera. So why wasn't that Yehoreg Valyava? Because it was Bifrahesia. All the Jews in the community knew that this girl, Jewish girl Esther, is living with the goy. So the Gemara asked Esther Farhesia Havoy. So the Gemara gives two answers. So one answer was, the only time you say Bishas Bifrahesia, Yehoreg Valyavar, or Bishas Hashman, Yehoreg Valyavar, if the kavan of the Nochri is Lahavir al Hadas, they want to cause the Jewish people to violate their religion. Here, Achashverosh had a good looking girl. He had a whole beauty parade, and he had all the girls from the whole kingdom, and he thought that she was the best looking, so he didn't know she was Jewish. He wasn't interested in Lahavir al Hadas, he didn't know she was married, he didn't know she was Jewish. He wasn't interested in causing her to violate her religion. So that's one explanation. The Gemara says, you don't say Yehoreg Valyavar, because it wasn't Miskaven Lahavar Ladas, it was Lahanoas Atzma. Then the Gemara gives another answer, that it was Esther Karko Elam Hoysa. So that's why you don't say Yehoreg Valyavar. So the Rishonim ask, why did the Gemara only ask Esther Farhesi Avoy? Moshe should have asked a better question, Esther Gili Arais Avoy, because she was married to Mordechai, so she's an Eshish Zinsa. So there are, why did the Gemara ask that question? So the Rabbin and Tam says, because the answer to that question is that Bia Sakum Lav Shmo Bia. So strictly speaking, she's not violating Lo Sinov. And the Rivam gave a different answer, and he says that with respect to the Din of Yehoreg Valyavar for Gilui Arayis, the answer would have been Karko Olam, that she's passive. But the Gemara thought that Karko Olam is not Mistaber. That answer doesn't make sense. They should apply if it's Befarhesia or Bishas Hashmad. Because Behesi Bishas Hashmad, the reason why it's Yehoreg Valyavar is because of Chil Hashem. So what does it help Karko Olam? What's the difference? Kol Miyaseh Shei V'Altase. So Gemara says a chidush, even to take off the Yehoreg Valyavar of Fahesia, also Karko Olam is a Svar Lahakam. But to be Matir, the Iser of the Din of Yehoreg Valyavar for Gili Arayis, that the Gemara knew all along that Karko Olam is a good Svar. She's passive, so Karko Olam is Mutter. So that's what Tosis says. Some Rishonim understood the Gemara's kasha was, why was she permitted to have the bia with Sisra? She was an Eshes Ish. So the answer was because she didn't get Hanoi. And the only reason why Rahman Achshavei Lamaise is because she gets Hanoi. She doesn't get Hanoi. Then it's not Rahman Achshavei Lamaise. That's how they read the Gemara. So Tosfos says that pshat is not correct. That the reason why she's allowed to violate Eishes Ish over here, because of Atzolos Klal Yisrael, because Aveiro Lishma, G'dola Aveiro Lishma. Atzolos Klal Yisrael, you're allowed to do it. That's what they quote from Horius, G'dola Aveiro Lishma. It's not that it was Mutter. So what was the Gemara's Kasha? V'okam Mesanyim Aveir. So Tosfos explains, no, the Kasha was that Yoel Eishes Chevra Keni, that Dvaira, and Shira's Dvaira, is praising Yoel Eishes Chevra Keni. She says she's a wonderful woman, Minoshim Ba'oil Tvaira. Who's Noshim Ba'oil? The Tzniyaz Dika women. Sarah Rivka, Rachav Aleya, the Yemoyas, who had children. They didn't have any public affairs with anybody other than the husband. So the Pasuk praises Yoel Eishes Chevra Keni. She's as great as the Yemoyas, maybe even greater. Minoshim Ba'oil Tvaira. So that was the Gemara's question. Why does she deserve such a big praise called Masanya Ma'avera. It's not an Avera Lishma. Gdol Avera Lishma. Lishma means you don't have any personal Hanoi. You don't gain anything out of it. But if she has Hanoi, she has seven times Tashmish with the Nachri, called Masanya Ma'avera. So why does she deserve such praise? It should be mutter to do it because Avera Lishma, but Zefeltach in the Lishma over here. So why is she praised so much? The Gemara answers, she didn't get Hanoi. But the Kasha was not in Hilchis Yoherg Vayavar. Adarab over here, Tosis says in the second line, Ki lohay ma'ansa adarab, he should lost the bedvarim. Lachriya, she was the one, she initiated the whole thing. She gave him the warm milk and she initiated the whole thing to be mezana with him seven times, to put him to sleep, to chop off his head. The whole thing was her plan. So he wasn't ma'anis her. So none of the kulas apply. The reason why it was mutter, because v'hatzolos klal yisrael is mutter. That's the din of aver l'shmo. Chaim Volozhiner has a whole comment on aver l'shmo. In the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, he has a whole section where he attacks the Hasidim. That they make achonis, and achonis, they go to mikvah on Shabbos morning, then the Ma'abe Sedra, then the Chazer the Mishnayis with their children, the Chazer the Sedra with their children, till they finally get to Davin Shachris. It's after this Ban Kriyashma, after this Ban Shachris, and on Pesach night, they're making Hachonis, they don't get to eat the matzah till after Chatzais. So he says, it's like shaking a lulav on Purim and reading the Megillah on Pesach. If you miss the mitzvah by 2 minutes, you missed it, the train. If you missed the train, you missed the plane, you missed it. There's money out there, money. There's a concept of Avera Lishma. So the Avera Lishma was called Matan Torah. Lach Matan Torah, there's no more Avera Lishma. That's what he writes. So the Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhiner write, that was a little bit of Guzma. The Gemara has Dinam of Avera Lishma. Sometimes in Beis HaMikdash, you'll have to do Avera Lishma by Akrobas HaKarbonis. Once in a while, but he meant to say that after Matan Torah, it's rare. Kode Matan Torah, Yankov Avinu married two sisters. How come? The answer is, Kode Matan Torah, the Dinam weren't given. So the others volunteered on their own to observe. He volunteered to observe, but they weren't mechuyev. So then you can say, Avera Lishma is mutter. If he's doing Lishem Shamayim, he saw b'nevuah, saw Baruch HaKod, he's going to be mamid Yud Beishvatim if he marries the two sisters, Baruch HaValeya. So Avera Lishma was mutter, Kodim Matar. Lachem Matan Tar, Nitnan Tar, Meschad Shalocha. There's no heter to do Avera Lishma. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes it, as if there's never a heter. So the Talmidim of Chaim Volozhiner say that's a little an exaggeration. It means it hardly applies. It applies much in rare cases. It applies lach matan Torah. Kodem matan was easier to apply. So that's what Tosfos says. The Gemara's kasha was not why was it permissible for her to be mezana with Sisra. Why was it permissible? Because of Hatzolos Klal Yisrael. The question was why did she deserve such praise? After all, she get hanor from there, so the answer was she didn't get on. It was purely mamish aver lishma.
I think Bia and something else was just chicane, then automatically said, "I know."
The Gemara says misasik.
Yeah,
misasik. Let a person shechtz a behema, a shechet he shechtz in Iowa, wherever the slaughterhouse is. It turns out that one of the behemoths that he shechted happened to be a Bukhar behemoth Torah, and he didn't know. So is he chayev chatas for shechting shchut echutz? So that's called misasik. He didn't know the nature of that. He didn't realize that that was a carbon. Let's see, he has vegetables on a plate on Shabbos, and he has a fork and a knife, and he's cutting. He didn't realize the vegetables are attached to the ground. So by cutting the vegetables, he's detaching it from the ground. So that's called misasek. Misasek by Shabbos is more reason to say that it's not chai because melach machshem misasuter. But Tosfos sheet is that misasek and kol Torah kula is also both even by shchut echutz. So the Gemara says, but by chalom arayis misasek is chai shekein nehena. Here means that the avera does relate to him. So normally it's going to be shekein nehena. The Gemara says over here she wasn't nehena. Over here she. Kultavasam Shalasham Rahi Aitzel Sadiq. Okay. That is the Gemara.
How does Mitzvah Bab Avera tie into this Avera Lishma?
Mitzvah Bab Avera is when it was not allowed to do it. Yeah, Avera Lishma, we say, you have to do the Avera Lishma. We recommend it. Sometimes they say, Yes, Adechal Esesi. Avera Lishma, When you say Eser Dechel Asese, that's not the same as Aver Lishma. When you do an Aver Lishma, we recommend it. It's an investment that you have to invest. Sometimes you make a risky investment and you lose a little money, and sometimes you gain a lot. So whenever you do an Aver Lishma, you're risking. You have to see the Aver shouldn't be too great an Aver, so that you're not going to be losing too much. So if it pays in the end, then the ends justifies the means. Every legal system has a rule that the ends do justify the means. It just depends which ends and which means. If my wife is having a baby on Shabbos, I'm allowed to drive to the hospital. I'm allowed to go through the red light at 3 o'clock in the morning if my wife is having a baby. The police will help me. They'll radio ahead, let the car go through. Don't stop him. His wife is in labor. You have a chayla mesukin and driving to the hospital, so they'll let you go through the red light, and will allow you to be mechal Shabbos and to eat on Yom Kippur. It was always a din like that. Some of the history books write based on the Book of Maccabees. Book of Maccabees. We have the Hebrew translation of the Greek, which was a translation of something else, I think. So we're not sure who wrote the Book of Maccabees either. So the way the history books read it, it sounds as if the het pikuach nefesh. Is the Chol Shabbos was invented by Matisyo. Until the days of Matisyo, they never knew that Pikuach Nefesh is the Chol Shabbos. So others tell that's ridiculous. From the day of Matan Torah, no woman ever gave birth on Shabbos. No one ever had a drive to the hospital. Everybody was 100% healthy on Yom Kippur. There were sick people on Yom Kippur, the first Yom Kippur. That person is 105 years old. And you're going to tell me he has to fast on Yom Kippur? He's not strong enough to fast. I mean, all the years from Matan Torah till the days of the Chashmonai till Matisyo, whoever was a choyle, they would let him die on Yom Kippur. We have no record. It's not mistaber at all. And the woman's giving birth to a baby on Shabbos. You're not going to be Machal Shabbos to deliver the baby. We have no records at all. It must be that there was some detail aspect of Chilosh, of Pikuach Nefesh, Decha Shabbos in Melchama. Melchama is not the same. Let's say a doctor takes care of a patient. There's one patient is sick. The doctor takes care of Mechal Shabbos and everything is okay. Shai? So v'nai marame, that's the end of the story. By Melchama, you have a bigger head. Even though you think you won the war, maybe you don't have enough information. Maybe the enemy has another battalion of soldiers that they're going to send in. So the army, even if they were victorious in battle, they're still allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, even after they were victorious, to make sure that they were victorious. It may be that you didn't finish the whole story yet. So it must be some detail in Hilchas Pikuach Nefesh that Matisyo told the Hasidim. It says there was a group of Hasidim who were hiding in a cave, and the enemy discovered them on Shabbos, and they attacked, and they didn't fight back. So it cannot be that they never knew that Pikuach Nefesh Dercha Shabbos, that they knew for centuries already. There was always Pikuach Nefesh from the first Shabbos after Maimon HaSinai. There mustn't be Pikuach Nefesh. All the generation, there were Mata Pikuach Nefesh, whatever the pasuk was, but there were always Mata Pikuach Nefesh. There was some aspect, some detail that they didn't know till then. Yeah. So if a person knows Chatei B'shul Shetizkeh, then the Gemara says you need a kapara. If you have Eser Dercha L'Asese, you have Pikuach Nefesh is Dercha Avera, so you don't need kapar. But if a person does chet b'shul shetiska, avera l'shma, then the Gemara says you do need a kapar for having done the avera. It's a different din.
The fact is that they knew you could be defensive on Shabbos, but you can't initiate an attack on Shabbos. And they said, yes, you can. So he said, that's okay. You can initiate an attack.
That Maisa Shehoi, the way it's written up in the Book of Maccabees, was that the Hasidim are hiding in a cave, and the Greeks found them, and they didn't defend themselves.
Right.
So what do you mean? They were attacked by the enemy, so they should have taken their weapons and fought back to save their lives. So there must be something missing in the story. Something missing in the story. Cannot be that they didn't know the din Pikuach Nefesh. Din Pikuach Nefesh happened from day number one. Every Shabbos, there's always Pikuach, there's always Chilul Shabbos.
Excuse me. There's a Gemara that discusses Avera Lashma, Mitzvah Shalom Lashma. If you come across, which one do you do? I think the Gemara says that whichever you want to, you do.
No, the Gemara has one suggestion. Avera lishma is better than a mitzvah shalal lishma. Then the Gemara, how can you say that? The other nasa kadam tar mitzvah shalal lishma betel shalal lishma bo lishma. You can't say that avera lishma is a higher madrega than a mitzvah shalal lishma. The Gemara says no, it's equal. Avera lishma is equal to a mitzvah shalal lishma.
But the Vilna Gaon says no.
I don't know, but the Gemara that Tesis quotes, the bottom Tesis, the Gemara that Tesis quotes, had the two versions. So the first version was that Avera Lishma is greater than a mitzvah Shalom Lishma. The Gemara said that's not Mastab. The Gemara says it's equal. It's equal to doing a mitzvah Shalom Lishma. But we do allow. Avera Lishma, we do allow. In rare cases, we allow. Has to be an investment. It's a little risk. But the halacha says you're allowed to take that risk. Yeah.
So we assume that it is a Maisa Avera?
Yeah. Avera Lishma is a Maisa Avera. You need Kapara later on. You have to do something for Kapara. Tesis gives an example. The Gemara says if a person has a chaloyim that he's scared about, he has a dream that he died. He has a dream that a close relative of his dies. So if he wakes up in the morning, say if he laughs it off and shines, so good, forget about it. But if he doesn't laugh it off, he's shaken, he's nervous, so then he's mechuyav to fast. Then if you're nervous about it, then you're mechuyav to fast. And if it's on Shabbos, the Gemara says you got to fast on that same day. It does make sense to wait till tomorrow. You got to fast on that day. But because he violated fasting on Shabbos, he violated on Shabbos, so the Mesav Tainis and Tainisa says the fast on Sunday is a kapar for having fasted on Shabbos. That's how Tesis interprets the Gemara, that he did an Avera Lishma, you're allowed to fast on Shabbos, because fasting on the same day stands a better chance of breaking the Gzeira. If he had a Chaloyim Ra, that someone close to him, he or someone close to him is going to die, so that's a miktsas nevuah. So if he's going to fast on the same day that he had the cholam, there's a stronger chance that the fasting will be mevatel l'gzeir. So we say, don't wait till Sunday. Fast today on Shabbos. But it's not that it's called pikuach nefesh. If it'll be, let's say, the hatzolah people, then mechal Shabbos every week, or doctors, mechal Shabbos every week to save the patient, they don't need any kapar. Pikuach nefesh is derech Shabbos, is muta. When they say hutro d'chuyah, but the bottom line is mutter legamri. Even if you hold Pekal Tam, it's only Dechel Shabbos, but bottom line is mutter. Whenever you have Eser Dechel Loi Sesei, or Pekoch Nefesh is Dechel, mutter is mutter, so you don't need a kapar. But if you have an Avera Lishma, means it's not governed, it's a case where you can't say Eser Dechel Loi Sesei, and it's not called Pekoch Nefesh, so then if it's an Avera Lishma, then the Gemara says you do need a kapar.
But Pinchas needed a kapar?
Probably did. He killed someone. Yeah, probably did. Kill a goy is also an aver. Not chai misa, but it's still an aver. Yeah.
And he was rewarded for it.
What?
God rewarded him.
Mm-hmm.
So, same time he has to have a kapora if he was already.
Probably. It's probably also an aver lishma. It's also an aver lishma.
Fasting on Shabbat is an
Avera
Lishma.
What?
Also says that fasting on Shabbat is an
Avera
Lishma.
Yeah. Tosis says like that. That fasting on Shabbat is an Avera Lishma. So you need a kapara, that's why you have to fast on Sunday. Yeah.
Non-Pagenberg
is
not
an
Avera either.
That what?
Maybe non-Pagenberg is not even an Avera.
It could be. Could be. Pashto says it is. Yeah, okay. Could be is what to discuss.
So the doctor shouldn't charge on Shabbos?
Why shouldn't the doctor charge on Shabbos? He's not the ex-chal Shabbos.
They're having an oven to be cooked in a bitch being doing Shabbos.
The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where he discusses the doctor in Pressburg was in such a big city, apparently. So it was one doctor for the whole Pressburg. The doctor was a religious Jew. So one Shabbos, one fine Shabbos, one of the Goyish farmers who lived on the outskirts of the city took sick, very seriously sick, and he sent one of the farm helpers, one of the workers on the farm, to the city, the horse and the wagon, to pick up from a doctor So the doctor came and he treated the goy on Shabbos. So someone got upset. The doctor is Machal Shabbos, because Pikuach Nefesh of Nachri is not Echa Shabbos. So the doctor did Shalokidin. So the Chassam Sofer says the doctor had no choice. Chassam Sofer writes that the Rabbanim from Hungary made a takana that Pikuach Nefesh of Nachri is also Echa Shabbos. Even on Medina de Gemara, Pikuach Nefesh of Nachri is not Echa Shabbos. They said if he's the only doctor in the whole city. What do you mean? He's going to say he doesn't want to treat the Galatian patient. So they may kill him, they may make a pogrom, kill a lot of Jews. So you have to be Mechal Shabbos. Yeah, Darkei Shalom, usually we only allow the Rabbanans, but this is a more serious, this is Eva also. You only allow the Rabbanans, and he is such a serious Eva. So he says the Rabbanim in Hungary made such a takon before his time, that there's a real chashash of a pogrom, so you're allowed to. So then he discusses, but the guy had to pay did he charge money or not? Did he charge money? So he says, the doctor has to charge money, because he's not allowed to, there's a din of lois sechonim. You're not allowed to do a taiva for a nochri, if they're not going to, you're not allowed to give a matnas chinam. So the doctor has to charge the nochri. Nochri is prepared to pay it, because he saved his life. But then he says the doctor shouldn't take the money because it's Schar Shabbos. So he should donate the money to Tzedakah. So the Pashtus is that the doctor should donate the money to Tzedakah. That's only when it's a Goyish patient. So then he has a right to charge for the services rendered. And he's going to do the services for nothing. He's in violation of Lo Sechonem. So he has to charge, but he shouldn't take the money because it's Schar Shabbos. He should give to Tzedakah. What if he's dealing with a Jewish patient? What if it's Chal Shabbos or whatever? He's treating a Jewish patient. So then the Pashta says he has a right to take the money. He doesn't have to give it to Tzedakah. Why? Because whenever a doctor treats a Jewish patient, so the Ramban was a doctor. The Ramban wrote a whole Sefer Torah Sodom, all the dinim that the doctors have to know about treating patients, charging. Are you allowed to charge or not? Are you allowed to treat the patient on Shabbos? The Raisas, the Rabbanans, when the baby is born, what are you allowed to do? When the person gets sick, what are you allowed to do? When the person dies, he has all the dinim ripping kriya, all the dinim of avelus, and once he has all the dinim of avelus, he talks about the dinim of Tisha B'Av, because he observed avelus on Tisha B'Av. They quote a lot of Hilchas Avelus in the end of Yeridei is based on the Ramban and the Torah Sodom, because the Rosh, a lot of the Yeridei Hilchas Avelus is based on the Rosh, and Moed Kot, and the Rosh has a lot quoted from the Ramban. So the Ramban quotes the Gemara that a doctor has an obligation to treat the Jewish patients because of the dinam of Hashavas Aveda. The Gemara says if a Jew lost a nickel, there's a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, Hashavas Mamon, or Kalvachem Hashavas Gufo. If the person doesn't have his good health, and you know medicine, you know how to restore him back to his good health, so that's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So the Gemara says in Perek El Metzias, you're not allowed to charge. The Gemara has a pasuk in Vaschanan, I think. Rei limadati eschem, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael before he died. Rei limadati eschem chukim imishpatim, kasher tzivani Hashem alakoi. So the pasuk pshat in the pasuk, pshuta shamikra. The Rabbanu Shalom instructed me to teach you the whole Taryag Mitzvah. So I taught you everything as the Rabbanu Shalom instructed me. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk. I taught you the Torah the same way the Rabbanu Shalom taught me the Torah. Ma'ana b'chinam, afata b'chinam. Just like the Rabbanu Shalom didn't charge me tuition when I was on Har Sinai, so I didn't charge you tuition when I transmitted the Torah to you, and in all the future generations, when a Rebbe teaches Torah to the Talmid, he's not allowed to charge any tuition. So the original pasuk that you're not allowed to charge says by teaching Torah. Ma'ana b'chinam, afata b'chinam. But the Gemara extends it to all mitzvahs. Whenever there's a mitzvah that you can't do on your own. Let's say you can tie your own tzitzis. You don't want to spend time. You can write your own tefillin. It'll take you forever to write the tefillin. I'm a mumcha. I know how to write the tefillin 1, 2, 3. So if you want me to tie the tzitzis for you, you want me to make the tefillin for you, I have a right to charge you money. Because you could have done it on your own. That's Rabbi Nehirsch explains in his commentary on Chumash. But let's say I'm going to give a Haggadah Seder for you. I was present when the Hezek happened. And you want me to testify in court. So, If you charge money to give Haggadah Seidus, that's an Issa. He can't give a Haggadah Seidus on his own. They won't accept his Seidus. He's the Baldover. So I have a Chiyuv to step forward. Anotos Chalodun is a violation of the Din. The person can't function as the Dayan on his own case. The Din requires someone else has to step up to the plate. Someone else has to be the Dayan to judge on the case. So whatever there's a mitzvah, I'm a Chiyuv to do it for you, because you can't do it on your own. Somebody has to be Mazi. He's Atar al Atome. If you're Tomei Meis, if you any other tumah, so you go to the mikveh, you make yourself tor. If you're tummy mace, you can't just go to the mikveh. First, you have to have he's a tor al atom. You have to hazo shlishi shvi. Adam tor has to be maz on you, and then erst you can go to the mikveh. After the hazo shlishi shvi, then you can go to the mikveh, make yourself tor. So the gemara says an alta schala hazo is over the din. He's not going to charge money to be maz the paraduma water because the person can't do it on his own. So the Ramban says, if I'm a doctor, I know the medicine, and the patient doesn't know medicine, so he doesn't know how to take care of himself. So I'll tell him, he's deathly sick, now I'll tell him, go to medical school. He's holding by dying now. Can't tell him, go to medical school. I'll tell him, learn Zachayis, how to tie tzitzis. It'll take him a long time, but he can do it on his own. Learn Zachayis, how to write film. But over here, kid, the Ramban says, you're not, if a Jewish patient, you're not allowed to charge money for treating the patient. If it's a Goyish patient, there's no chiyuv hashavas aveda la'akum. There's no chiyuv hashavas aveda la'achis es nafsho. But if it's a Jewish patient, so just like hashavas aveda, the Gemara says you're not allowed to take a salary for hashavas aveda. So the doctor's not allowed to take a salary. Yeah, but how can it be a doctor? He's going to do. He wants to have a wife and children, raise the children. He has to send to yeshiva. He has to pay tuition. Has to eat food. So let's say the Rebbe is not allowed to take a salary. So whether the Rebbe is going to live on air, so you have to pay schar batola. The Rebbe is not allowed to take schar for teaching Torah, but he's allowed to pick. He can say, you want me to teach Torah for nothing, so you have to support me. I'll live off of charity or pay me that I shouldn't take another job. All of my classmates are taking jobs and they're making a fortune of money, so you want me to teach Torah for nothing, but you have to pay me that I shouldn't take another job. That's chod schar batola. And then, so they pay me not to take a job. So who has to pay this schar batola? So let's say, I'm a doctor in New York. So there are Jews in New Jersey and in Eretz Israel and in Canada. Why should they pay schar batola? They don't need me. Schar batola, the people are going to be nene from me. They're going to pay me schar batola. They're going to pay me not to take a job. So just like the rabbi is going to be a rabbi in this community, so these balabatim are going to be nene from the rabbi, so they have to give him a schar batola. So if you have a doctor, he's not allowed to charge any salary, but they have to pay him schar batola. So who pays this schar batola? So all of his customers. He divides it among all of the different patients that he treats. He charges each patient. This patient, the treatment took an hour. The other patient, the treatment took a half an hour. So he charges him twice as much. I don't know. He figures out a whole system of payment, but then none of them are really paying him. None of the patients are really paying him for the services rendered. They're paying him schar batola, but they divide it amongst themselves. So let's say the Yiddish doctor treats a Yiddish patient on Shabbos. So he can charge the Yiddish patient. The Yiddish patient is not paying schar Shabbos, not paying for the medical treatment that the doctor gave. The Yiddish patient never paid for the treatment. The doctor does the treatment for nothing, like the Rebbe's in the yeshiva. The patients are paying schar batola. So the doctor is doing the job very well. He didn't take a job all year long. That's why he's free to review his medical studies. And he keeps on reading the latest journals, and he's up on all the latest medicine, and he knows how to treat all the patients properly. So all the patients that he have to chip in to pay him schar batola. They're not paying him for the services rendered on Shabbos. That would be schar Shabbos. If they pay him for what he did on Shabbos, that's schar Shabbos. He's not allowed to take it. So the Chassam Sofer was only concerned if you treated the Goyish patient. And so you're not allowed to treat him for nothing. It's less chanim. So then when he pays you the money, that's going to be an issue, schar Shabbos, because the nochri of our Shabbos aveded to the nochri. So when the doctor treats the nochri, he is allowed to charge. But that's going to be an esek. But schar Shabbos, he should give it away to tzedakah. But if he's treating Yiddish patients on Shabbos, he may charge, because they're not paying for the services rendered. They're paying schar batola that the doctor didn't take a job all year long. Didn't take a job for the weekdays. The patients on Shabbos are interested and having this doctor ponui, he shouldn't go into business, he shouldn't do a different thing for a living, so he'll be able to treat them all week long. So they, when it's Yiddish patients, there's no, the pashtus is that there's no problem of schar sham. It's only a problem when it's a goyish patient.
For
a
goyish patient,
is
it also not schar batala?
A nochri, you're permitted to charge. Because the nochri of Ashabas Aveda by the nochri. So if you do Ashabas Aveda to the nochri, you can charge. And if you do, if he saved his life, you can charge also. Like by the nochri, they charge. When a doctor, a nochri doctor treats a patient, he charges schiris. So when the Yiddish doctor treats a nochri, he charges schiris pilem. Only when you're treating Yiddish patients all week long, you're not allowed to charge. Because it's like Hashavas Aveda, so you're not allowed to charge for performing a mitzvah that the person couldn't have done on his own. He couldn't have treated himself. He's sick now, and he can't treat himself now. Yeah, so that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara. Okay. The next piece of Gemara we already learned. Kuf Gimel, the base. The Mishnah says, Chotze B'man L'Shen Shaloi. If the Yavam took off the shoe from the right leg of the Yavam, but it wasn't his shoe, he didn't own the shoe. So the mission says that b'diyevet it's good. Chotz banu shen shaloi, chalitz osik shev. So the Gemara quotes a brayse, Tana Rabbanan. It says v'chotz na'alo. So na'alo, the vav of na'alo sounds like it's the possessive, that the na'al should belong to the yavam. Any ala na'alo, there should belong to him. I don't know, even if it doesn't belong to him, what if he borrowed the na'al from someone else? That's lamaisa the practice. The bezin has sandal shal chalitza. And whenever a Yavam comes, so they give him the sandal shal chalitz. So the Gemara says, how do you know? Tam lama nal nal. It says the word nal twice in the pasuk. Bikol makom. Even if the nal doesn't belong to him. So why does that have a vav na'alo? It sounds like it's possessive. So the Gemara says, that means it should fit his foot. If the nal is way too big, it's not shaykh, he can't walk like that. Or it's way too small. So then it's not called na'alo. But then the Gemara tells a story that on one occasion, Abai Habikoi Kameh de Rav Yosef. Abai was a Talmud of Rav Yosef. So one day a Yavama came, she needed chalitza, so the Yavam wasn't wearing leather shoes, so the Rav Yosef asks Abaye, do me a favor, give him your shoe. So Abaye was upset, but the shoe doesn't belong to him. The Mishnah sounds like the Yevid, it's good if the shoe is not his. So Abai was upset, so he took off his left shoe. The din is, if you use the left shoe on the right foot, but the Yevid, it's good. But more correct is you should use the right shoe on the right foot. You can't do chalitz on the left foot. The Mishnah says, chalitz b'smol, chalitz b'sul. If you take off the shoe from the left foot, tignish. You're not in the Yevid, unless he's a left-footed person, then it's... Unless the left foot is stronger than the right foot, when he kicks football, he always kicks with the left foot. If the left foot is stronger, then it's a machlokes harishayim. So then we do twice chalitz. If you do it with the right foot, you do it with the left foot. But under normal circumstances, that the right foot, that both legs are equal, or the right leg is stronger than the left leg, if he would want to stamp on something or kick something, he would kick it with his right foot, so he do chalitz with the right foot. So the Mishnah says, but yeah, if he was wearing a left foot on the right shoe, but yeah, but it's good. So Abai was upset why Rabbi Yosef told him, give him your shoe. He thought that if he's going to lend his shoe to the Yavam, it's only good that he had it. So he wanted to raise an issue, but out of their chariots, he didn't say anything. So he took off his left shoe, he gave it to the Yavam. So Rabbi Yosef said, why don't you give him the left shoe? Why don't you give him the right shoe? Because the Mishnah is mashma, the left shoe is only good that he had it on the right foot. So Abai says, so it's not his sandal anyway. It's anyway only going to be good b'diyevet. So why did you tell me to give him my shoes? So Rabbi Yosef says, no. I meant you should be makne. Be makne your shoe. The shoe should belong to the oven. B'diyevet, if it doesn't belong to the oven, it's also good. So that's what Rabbi Yosef meant. That's how he passed from Allah. So the bezin always has a sandal shal chalitza. So they always, when they have a case of chalitza, so they makne the shoe to the oven and he puts it on his right foot. If they wouldn't be Makna, he would just borrow the shoe of the Bezin, but it would be good anyway. But L'chatchid, he got to be Makna. So we mentioned that the Rashba Yes, why do you even need l'chatchila? So the Rashba had the two suggestions. One was, you want to be mekayim pshuto shel mikra. Interesting. So pshuto shel mikra, v'chotza na'alo, it should belong to him. The other pshat on the Rashba was, no, you don't have to be mekayim pshuto shel mikra. But if the shoe belongs to him, then the stone's going to fit. If the shoe doesn't belong to him, so it may not fit. So l'chatchila, you want the shoe should belong to him, so it'll be the better chance that it's going to fit. Yeah, but if the Bezin always has one shoe that fits everybody, so just because he mocked it to him, how does it make it better that it's going to fit? If I went to the shoe store and I bought a pair of shoes, if it's mine because I bought it, so of course it's going to take me a while till they give me the right pair of shoes that fits my foot. But here the Bezin is giving me the shoe. They give everybody the exact same shoe. So just because they mocked it to me, so it's going to fit better. That's the problem with the other day in the Rashba.
An adjustable shoe?
Yeah. They have one size shoe. It's not adjustable. It's adjustable in the sense that if he has a bigger foot, either tie the straps tighter or looser. Yeah, it's not that big and it's not that small, so it fits all feet. Usually, it fits all of feet. Yeah. So that's the Gemara. Okay, this bit that we discussed already. Then the Mishnah says sandal shalitz is good. If you bit chalitza with a wooden shoe, is good. So the Gemara had a whole discussion before. What's a din of Yom Kippur? What's a din for Abelis, for Shiva, for Tisha B'Av? Is Nilas HaSandal only a sandal shal or? Or does it mean anything that's Megan to the exclusion of cloth beged? Let's say a pair of sneakers is Megan. A pair of sneakers is Megan, or Crocs, or something like that. So the Gemara says, Sandal Shalait, the Mishnah says it's good. Mantan, whose opinion is that? So Gemara Mehi, it only goes like Rav Meir, Meir holds that a wooden shoe is considered a shoe. Then the Gemara says, not necessarily so. Abu Dishmuel Omer, Shmuel's father was also Tamach, he said, maybe Mechupar V'Divir Hakol. Maybe the Mishnah says a wooden shoe is good. It means if a wooden shoe, basically a wooden shoe, but has a leather cover on top of it. So that's leather on the outside, so it's a leather, so it's maybe it's good for holidays. So that's what we assume like that, that if it's not made from leather, you're allowed to wear it on Yom Kippur, and you're allowed to wear it on Tisha B'Av and during Shiva, and so on. Same thing, the soldiers, we mentioned, I think the soldiers in Har HaBayis. The Gemara says that the Ephraim soldiers, you have to have people go on Har HaBayis to make sure that the Arabs don't make any riots over there. So the din is, you're not allowed to walk on the Har HaBayis with shoes. So what's Heistav shoe? Here Rashi quoted it on Kuv Beis on the Beis. That's in Yeshaya Perek Aleph. Shabbos Chazam, we say that after. That Remois Chaserah, to trample into the Har HaBayis with shoes on. So what's the definition of a shoe? So we pass on only leather shoes. So the former soldiers who are on guard in the Har HaBayis, so they don't wear leather shoes. They wear sneakers. They wear something other than leather shoes. Okay, sure. The Adi Gemara starts a new topic. We have sometimes a mitzvah that requires a shear. Let's say Hadassim and Arovis has to be a minimum of 3 tefachim tall. The Lulav has to be a minimum of 4 tefachim tall. The same as the Hadass in the Arova. But an extra tefach kadeva na'ineabo, that it should be noticeable when you do ninua. The esrig has a minimum size, has to be either kibetza or what's the other opinion? Kibetza or kegos, I forgot. Achlegs hatanaim in the Mishnah in Sukkah, what's the minimum size? So what if you have a lulav arava or an esrig, something that needs a shear, and it's omid l'sreifa. What's Omer L'Sreifa? Let's say Avodah Zarah. Irini Dachas is supposed to burn everything. Or you have a Dovah Shel Avodah Zarah, so you have to destroy it. Hashirem Tisrufum Boesh. So the Gemara has a din of Kitoisei Mechta Shur. Whenever the thing needs a shear, and the thing is Omer L'Sreifa, so I treat it as if, I don't treat it as if it's Kemisha Eino. If there wouldn't be any need for a shear, let's say you write a get, so there is no minimum size how big the piece of paper of the get has to be. If you can succeed in writing the whole get on a piece of paper that's a mashu, then it would be good. It's just physically impossible. There is no minimum size to the get. So maybe according to one Tana, there's one Tana of the opinion that kolay midlistra of kisar of domi. So maybe according to that Tana is considered Kemishena, but Pashtus is even that Tana never said it, and we don't pass like that Tana. We just say Kitoise Mechtusha, whenever the thing needs a shear, the lulav needs a shear, so then you say, since it's not, the shear is not going to be too lasting. It's the shear is still going to disappear. The whole thing is going to be disappearing soon. So I treat it as if kitoisi mechtis, as if it's chopped up. Kitoisi mechtis is like the Loshim says, v'chiteis nechasha nechoshis, to chop it up into tiny particles. So it doesn't have the chashivas of the shear. So here the shaila is, the chalitza shu needs a shear. What's the shear? It should be chayfas rov haregel. But that's not a shear like gimel tvachim, dalet tvachim, a shear ke'egos, or ke'beitza, something like that. It's a shear vis-a-vis my foot. It should cover over my foot. It does cover over the foot. So it's shat to say, kitos yemech to shiur. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. So the Gemara has like this. When you have, there's a din of tzaras, odom, people can develop negative tzaras. B'makam seir, b'makam ha'or, then you have tzaras batim, then you have tzaras bigodim. So tzaras bigodim applies to leather bigodim also, b'beged or, b'beged pishtim. The pasuk says b'beged or. A garment that's made from leather. So what if you have a chalitza shoe that develops a nega tzaras? So you have in tzaras, you have the mitzora first. He'll be a mitzora muzgar. His gear is hanega shivas yamim, and then you have a mitzora muchlat. So just like by an odom, you have a mitzora muzgar. What does it mean mitzora muzgar? What does it mean? His gear is habayis. When you have a bayis hamenuga, so the his gear is habayis. What does it mean? His gear is habayis. He declares. Pasha Bashad Bihizka's Abayis means the Kohen has to paskin. The Kohen declares that the bias is a muzgar. Does he have to close the door? Some Mishraim say Bihizka literally, the Kohen has to close the door. Bihizka is a bias. Others say, no, he just declares that the bias is Tomei. So when you have a Begid that's has Negat Saras, but it doesn't have the Simonim to declare that it's Tomei Muchlot yet, it's only a Beged Muzgar, so then it's not yet Oymed L'Sreifa. But once it becomes a Mitzora Muchlot, once the Beged becomes Muchlot with Negat Saras, then it's Oymed L'Sreifa. So the first opinion in the Gemara says, Kozman, it's only Beged Saras Muzgar, it's not yet Oymed L'Sreifa, so you don't say Kitos Mech Tushur. Once it's a Beged, the sandal is a Beged, the leather beged, the beged or. Once it's a muchlot, then it's a minisrefa, then he says, Kitoy Semech Teshur. That's where he says, Amra Papi Mishmei Derava. He claimed that the Rabbi said, Sandal Hamuzgar, it's a leather beged, Lo Taklitz Bam Chalitzos Geshem. Lechatchile, you're not allowed to use it for chalitza. Why not? He doesn't explain. Why shouldn't you use it lechatchile? But he said, but yeah, but if you used it, it'll be kosher because it's not yet Oymed L'Sreifa. So you don't say Kitoy Semech Teshur. But if Sandal HaMuchlot, if it already, when do you declare that it's a Muchlot? Let's say the Kohen sees the Beged Tzaras. Let's say the Balabas has a shoe. And the Nega Tzaras develops and it keeps on getting bigger, 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 bigger. And he says, hey, there's something strange over here. Every week it's bigger. So he comes to the Kohen. So he tells the Kohen it's beginning bigger the last month. Every week it's bigger, bigger, bigger. But that's not called pisoyin. Pisoyin means from the time the Kohen looked at it till the end of the week after, so did it get bigger from the time the Kohen looked at it? While the boss, the owner, tells the Kohen it was getting bigger the last couple of weeks. The first week it had a, what's the shear? Kigris. The minimum shear is a gris, a small amount, the size of a dime. Not the size of a dime or so, size of a dime, a penny, in between a dime and a penny. So that's the shear for Ksamim also, shear gris. So something between a dime and a penny. So the Baal Bos tells the Kohen, it had a shear gris the first week, and every week keeps on bigger, bigger, bigger. So that's not yet the Muchlot. That's Pisoyin is only, if the Kohen looked at it, and then his gris had begged, then at the end of the week it got bigger from the time he looked at it last week. Then Pisoyin is Metameh. By the Guf Adam, you have either Pisoyan or you have, what else do you have? Seir Lovon. Seir Banega Hafach Lovon. If there was a Nega Tzaras and then the Seir, after the Nega Tzaras developed, then there was normal color hair and the hair turned white. So Seir Lovon is a Simen Tumah. If the Balbos comes and he tells the Kohen, this Nega Tzaras developed in my body. He says, Nega Tzaras developed my body 6 months ago, and in the last 6 months, the hair in the middle of the Nega Tzaras turned white. So then the Mitzvah declares right away, he's a Mitzvah Mukhlat. You don't need to be Mazgehim. If you have a red, or Pisoyan spreading has to be from the time the Kohen saw it. If it had Pisoyan before the Kohen saw it, that's not called Pisoyan. But Seir Lovon you can have, or Basachai Banega. If you have Basachai, the Balabas comes and he tells the Kohen, I developed this Nega Tzaras 6 months ago. And in the course of the 6 months, in the middle, there's a big Nega Tzaras, so big, then in the middle, there's Basachai, normal color skin in the middle. The rest is white, in the middle is Basachai, normal color. So then if he tells it to the Kohen, it's going to be Machlatim right away. But by Begodim, you only have Pisoyan. You don't have Seir Lovon, and you don't have Basachai. So the only thing that you can declare that it's a Mukhlot is you're going to have Pisoyan. It was spreading. So Pisoyan means from the time the Kohen saw it. So that's what he says. If you have a shoe, which is a Beged, that's just a Beged Shal Or, so if it's a Muzgar, so you don't say it's not a Middle Sreifa yet. So you don't say Kites Mechtushua. But a sandal hamuklot, mcholtz achalitzos of psula, because you say, kitoise mechdushur, what shear does it need? It has to have the shear of chayfas rev raglan. So that's what Rapapi was a Talmud of Rava. Rapapa was also a Talmud Rava. He says, not true. That's not what the Rebbe said. Rapapa, mishmei de Rabam, he disagrees. He says, he said it wrong. Echad sandal hamuzg, ech sachal hamuklot, tachtas balach hatchili, you shouldn't do it. Mcholtz achalitzos of shear. But yeah, but it will be good. Why? It's a different kind of a shear. It's not a shear in the cheftzit, and you need three tvachim. You need a shear ke egos or ke beitza, something like that. It's a shear vis-a-vis my foot. So it does have that shear. So you don't apply kitos and mechteshura to this kind of a shear. Yeah. So it's a machlekes, whether you say, we pass from that, you don't. We'll soon see how you say. Yeah. Where does the Gemara usually have? The Mishnais have in Sukkah, if you have lulav, arove, esrig, shal irni dachas, and shalashera. Shalashera, shofar. Shofar has to have a minimum size of a kezayis, of a tefach. Kedosh shechazena biyodah biyroi lekan alkan, you need a shia tefach. So you need a shia tefach. That's in the chepti, you need a shia tefach. So if it's a shofar shal ashera, shal irni dachas, can't be a share. A share is a wooden tree. Let's say it's an Erani Dacha, so Shalav Adizora. So then you say Kitos Mech Deshur. Yeah. So first of all, it has to be Oymed L'Sreifa. Has to be Oymed L'Sreifa. So Avadizora, Erani Dacha is Oymed L'Sreifa. The Shaila is Avadizora, there's a Pasuk Le'idbak Miotcha Mi'uma Menacheret. Let's say you have other things that are L'Sreifa. The last Mishnah and Tmura list off a lot of Yisuri HaNoah, and they're divided into two categories. Some of them are min ha-nigbarim, you have to dispose of it, you have to bury it somewhere, you have to get rid of it. And some of them are min ha-nisrafim. So it says, Orlo Klakerim is min ha-nisrafim. But the Orlo Klakerim is not the same kind of sreifa as Avod Zorah and Irin Eidachas. Avod Zorah and Eidachas is a din, l'yidbak biotcha me'umah menachem, you're not allowed to keep it around the house. It's like a hot potato, you got to get rid of it immediately. Let's say you have chametz b'Pesach. So chametz b'Pesach, you're not allowed to leave it around the house, and then you get around to burn it next week. You have to destroy it right away. You'll violate Bal Yeroi Bal Yimotzei. So there's such a din similar to Bal Yeroi Bal Yimotzei. There's such a din by Avodah Zorah. You're not allowed to keep Avodah Zorah around the house, even if you plan to burn it later. No, you have to destroy it right away. By Orla Klakerim, there is no such din. You have to burn it immediately. With the Rabbanon, there's such a din. Mishum chashash takola. Let's say I have goyish workers who are doing work in the house, and I bought tray for food for them. I have to give them lunch. They're working by me, I have to give them lunch. So I put the tray for food in the refrigerator. So the Gemara says it's not a smart idea. It's not permissible to leave tray for food in your refrigerator. Your children, by mistake, may eat the tray for food. Don't want to realize that this is miyuchet for the goyish workers. So the Gemara said there's a din min avonim shem chashash takala, not to leave tray for food around the house. So if you have orlok la'kam also, you shouldn't leave it around the house, but that's a chashash mederabonim. It's a gzer mederabonim shem chashash takola. But on the level of the raisa, it's not that you have to dispose of it immediately, that you can't leave it around the house. You can leave it for a while. You burn it tomorrow. So brentash, you burn it tomorrow. There's no big rush. You have to burn it today. So by Abu Dazara and even Idachas, there's a lav layid b'kubiyodacha miyum menachem. You're not allowed to keep it around the house. So there you say kitos mechdush as imed l'sreif from the yard. What about by orla klei akerim? Do you also say that is kitos mechdush ura? So Tosis in Sukkah and Tosis in Soita, Tosis in a few places assumes that yes, that by anything that's imed l'sreif, you say kitos mechdush ura. And some of the rishonim disagree. I think the Ravid on the bottom of the riff on Sukkah, you have the Ravid and you have the Balamor. So I think the Ravid disagrees. The Vilna Gaon for sure disagrees. The Vilna Gaon has a long piece about Ketos Mechter Shur in the beginning of Hilchas Gittin in the Bir Agra, because the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Gemara in Gittin Avchav Kosval Isuri Hano. If you write a get on a piece of paper, a piece of parchment, whatever you write on, that's also Hano. So the Gemara says the get is kosher. So the Ran on that Gemara, the Ramah quotes a Ran who discusses, would you say Kitose Mechte Shura? So they say, no, a get doesn't have any minimum size. You can't say Kitose Mechte Shura. It only applies when you have a specific shear. The Ran, that's what the Ran implies. If the din would have been like the Tana Reb Shimon Kalai Medlis Reb Kisarav Dami, then I might treat it Kenisha Eino. Then you wouldn't be able to write a get on anything that's Ayma Desreifa either. But we don't pass like that Tana. We don't hold Kalay Medisra Kisar. We only say Kitoisa Mechta Shura. So that only applies when you need a shear. If you don't need a shear, the din doesn't apply. So there, there's a long Bir Agra there, unusually long Bir Agra in the beginning of Hilchas Gittin, when the Rama quotes that din from the Gemara and Gittin about writing a get on Isuri Hano. So the Vilna Gaon holds against that. He quotes the few Taisusin. He holds like the Ravid Shita, and you only say Ketos Mechta Shura if it's Avodah Zarah or Yerni Dachas, that you're not allowed to hold it around the house. La Yidbak Biyotcha Miyum Menachem. You're not allowed to keep it around the house. Or Chametz BePesach, you have to dispose of it immediately. You can't leave it around the house. But if it would be Orla Klei Akerem, so they hold that you wouldn't say Ketos Mechta Shura. Tosis asks a funny kasha. If you eat a kazayis of orla klarakarim, so you get malchus. So Tosa says that since orla klarakarim is bisreifa, you're supposed to burn it, so you say ki Tosa mechta shura, so you never have a kazayis. So how can you ever get malchus? By definition, it doesn't have a kazayis. So is that taka what it means? So the karanara there on the Gemara and Saita, we learned Saita, we spent a long time on Gemara and Saita. So the Karanara says over there, Kitoisi Mechta Shura doesn't mean that it's Kemisha Eino. It's not Oymed L'Sreifa, it's Kemisha Eino. The Shura that's needed is like the Chites and the Chasha and the Chesh is considered as if it will be chopped up. So what if you have oil or klakam that's all chopped up in tiny particles and you eat a spoonful, you eat a whole kazayas. You take a soup spoon, a heaping soup spoonful, you have a whole kazayas, and it's chopped up into little tiny particles. So what? There's no din that has to be one unit. By Arav and by Hadassim and by Esrig and by Lulav, has to be one piece of a Lulav. If you have a Lulav that's chopped up into tiny pieces, then you glue it together, so that's no good. It has to be one unit. So even if the Lulav is all together, we say, Kitoise Mechte Shura, we treat it as if it were chopped up and it's holding together, so chopped up Toignish. But if you eat a Kazais of Arla Klakam, even if it's chopped up, you also get Malkus. So that's why at this Samachrenim have the Karanari and others have tinus against Atosis. So that's part of this story over here. This din that you have a sandal ha-mukhlot, that it's Oymed L'Sreifa, you have to burn it. It's a din, you're not allowed to leave it around the house. No, you have to burn it. You don't have to burn it the first second. Yeah, you can take your time, you burn it tomorrow. You burn it tomorrow, it doesn't have to be burned. It's not like Avodah Zarah, this ton Ibn Menoilim immediately. So it could be that that's why we don't accept it. There are two reasons why. It could be that here the shear is not the shear and the heft of the shoe. The shoe should fit my foot. It's a different kind of a shear. So maybe that's why you don't apply kitos mech the shear. It could be it doesn't apply because it's not only to immediate sreifa. Maybe it's only by avodah zarah and by yoni dachas that you're not allowed to leave it around the house. Maybe chametz with pesach also by yura by matz. You're not allowed to leave it around the house. It's ton ibn menoyla miyad, but over here it's not ton ibn menoyla. You have to burn it when you have a chance, like or like plaid kara. Maybe that's the reason why you don't. But we don't take it to mech the shur. So that's what the Gemara. That's the machlek. It's Rav Papi in the name of Rav and Rav Papa in the name of Rav. If it's a sandal hamuzgar, so it's not yet aimed l'sreifa. So it's only lachatchila you should use it. It's not kavod mitzvah to use sandal that has a negat saras. But if it's sandal hamuklot, that's a machlekes. Maybe you should say kitos emech the shiur. So the Gemara effect akasha. The Gemara effect akasha meisve. Yatzaras batim. So there's a din. Maybe we'll just start the Gemara. We won't finish the whole thing. So the Gemara has a din. Bayis hamuzgar. Sometimes you have tzaras batim, so you have a bayis hamuzgar. Then the kohen comes back after a week. He sees that there was pisayan, so he declares that it's a muchlot. Okay. So if it's a bayis hamuzgar and you stick your hand and you touch it on the inside, so you mekabel tumah from it. But if you touch the building from the outside, stone building, touch it from the outside, you don't become tumah. But if it's a bayis hamuchlot, after the machlet it, so whether you touch mitoch meachurav, it's metame. But both of them is metame mitbi. But habola bayis, when you enter into the house, then you do become tumah. Both of it's a bayis hamuzgar or a bayis hamuchlot. Frag the Gemara. But if it's a bayis hamuchlot, there's no din that you have to burn it. But the din is you're supposed to knock down the whole bayis. You have to knock down the whole thing and take it michutz lamachane. That's what we mentioned last week, I think. We spoke about this a little. That a metzora is not allowed, Adam who's a metzora is not allowed to enter Ayaras HaMakafis Chaim Moisir Shur Benun. But any other city, Yerushalayim is not allowed to enter, Ayaras HaMakafis Chaim is not allowed to enter. Any other city that is not Mugav Chaim Moisir Shur Benun, the metzora may enter. But an Evan HaMenugas, you're not allowed to leave in any city in Eretz Yisrael. You can leave it on a farm, but you're not allowed to leave it in any city. So that's why you need a definition. What's the definition of a city? What's the definition of a city? You don't have to have a wall around it to be considered, even if it's not Mukav Chaim, it's also a city. So the Gemara has, you have to, there are Mishnais. Mishnais in Erechin, Benigat, Ayaras HaMukav Chaim, Masr Shur Benun, and Mishnais in Erevin, Benigat, Tchum Shabbos. If you have a big city, so all the people who live in the city have the same Tchum. And then if it's a city, so you say the cities are always rectangular shape, al-pidin, and then you have shivim mama v'shirayim as iburish alir, and then you measure apay mama mechutz liiburish alir. So that's only if it has the dimensions of a city. So the Mishnahs have an erichin and an erim, the mikre, happens to be those two mesichtas, they give you the definition. You have to have gimel chatzeris, you have to have three chatzeris. Chatzeris means an area that's mukav chayim that has at least two batim in it. Let's say you have a floor in an apartment building. You have a chatzer and you have two apartments on the floor. So you have to have three chatzeris that are either contiguous to each other or are close to each other within Shivim Mama Vishirayim. And you have to have a minimum population of 100 people. And the people, it's not a motel that they just sleep overnight for a day or two. After they live there kavua, shot of how long do they have to live there? Sometimes you have a din, you have to live there shloshim yom. Sometimes a din says you have to live there for a year. The Mishnah Berurah says over here, half a year. That's the question. Where did he get to shear? Half a year. The Gemara in Bava Basra, sometimes there's a din, you have to live there shloshim yom. Sometimes a din, yud beis chodesh. Why should it be 6 months? That's the question. So the Tosefta says like that. Odom, who's a tamim mitzora, is permitted to enter all Ayaris and Eretz Yisrael, except Ayaris HaMakav Chayma, Moshe Shubanot, but in Eden HaMenugas, you have to remove from all cities in Eretz Yisrael, even if it's not Mukav Chayma, you can keep it on a farm. So you have to know what's the definition of an ear, when is it called an ear, and when is it not called an ear. So it says, Zev Zev and Tamin Bibiyah, it says, Habol HaBayis, if you enter into the house, once you walk in Rosh HaBaruba into the house, so it's Metamayu, Freg de Gemara. And if you're going to tell me that by bayis hamuchlat, since it's I made, it's not oimed l'sreifa. The house is not made from wood. The tzaras batim, if it has avonim, it's not a wooden house. It's not a metal house, not concrete. It has to be made with avonim. So you're not going to burn avonim. You can't burn the avonim. So nonetheless, since it's I made laharisa, since he's supposed to knock it down, that's also oimed l'ibud. So you should, the Gemara thought you should also say, and if you're going to tell me that Rapapi is right, that by a begin hamuchlot, it's kitais mech tishura, v'yisal kadaitach, kidimech tizdami, by the begin. So the same should be true by the bias. So how can you call it a bias? It's like a rubble, it's like a destroyed house. As if all of the stones fell apart. Abin abola bais velekra. It has to be bola bais. If it's kitos and mechdusha, it should be considered as if the whole thing was knocked down. Everything more name shiny house, and that's exeris akasa. The Torah says, when asas it's habais, afilu b'shas netitza, is also kari bias. The Gemara said, that doesn't prove. That doesn't prove anything. Maybe by bias it's exeris akasa. By beged is not so. By beged, maybe Rapapi is right in the name of Robert, that you would say, but by is a pasuk that is still called a bais even after it's already muchlon. But by beged, maybe once it's muchlon, you should say kitos mechtishur. I was going to ask a kasha from beged. See, even beged, you don't say kitos mechtishur. Okay, so we'll have to continue Belinara next week. In this week's Seder, Rashi has a famous comment. Rashi made it famous. A lot of Midrashim that Rashi made famous, we wouldn't have heard of them, not for Rashi. The Pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim, so Yosef, they hadn't seen each other for 22 years, so Yosef and her father are hugging each other, so Yosef is crying on her father's shoulders, and it doesn't say that Yaakov Avinu is crying. How come Yaakov Avinu didn't see his son for 22 years? Why isn't he not crying? So Rashi quotes the Medrash, because Yaakov Avinu is busy saying Kriyat Shema. Now is the time to say Kriyat Shema. And what Yosef didn't daven, Yosef didn't have to say Kriyat Shema. So the Mefarshim talk about it. How come? So they say, well, Yosef had all the time in the world. So he davened by the 6 o'clock minyan. Yaakov Avinu was traveling, so he didn't have a chance to daven because they were traveling, whatever. They give terutzim what it was. Why? So the Marami Prague has a different, in the Gurariye. Gurariye is by the Marami Prague, commentaries on Rashi Alatur. See, he has a beard that's also pretty famous. His interpretation is famous. That the whole story goes like this. The pasuk says, "Behaftas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha." We have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of our heart. So the Chavis Alvavis raises the question, how can you love your spouse? How can you love your children? You have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your whole heart. So if you love anybody else, it takes away from b'chol levavcha. So the Chavis Alvavis answers, the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants you to keep all of his mitzvahs. So one of his mitzvahs is you should get married and to love your wife. That's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. Rabbanu Shel Olam wants us to raise family. He wants us, the normal way to raise your family is to love your children. So the love that you have, the love that one has to demonstrate for the spouse and for the children, is a chelik of the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this is only by medvar mamurim if the spouse is Jewish and she's religious, and she's keeping mitzvahs, and the children are keeping mitzvahs. Now they have this whole thing, you have to have unconditional love for your children. So that's not the Jewish way. You can't have unconditional love for your children. That's a violation of Haftas Hashem L'kecha b'chol levavcha. You can only love your children to the extent that it fits in with Avas Hashem. We love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He wants us to love our children if they're following the Derech HaTorah. So Yaakov Avinu hasn't seen his son for 22 years, and he's overwhelmed with emotion. He doesn't know if this son is Jewish anymore. He doesn't know if he's keeping any mitzvahs. He doesn't know if he married a nochris. Who did he marry there? He doesn't know if he's observing anything, but he was so overwhelmed with emotion. He loved his son so much that he realized that he has a love for his son that may not fit in with Avos Hashem. So he felt, I better chazik Kriyat Shema. After Shamkach b'chol levavcha, it wasn't that he was davening Shacharis. It wasn't Zman Shacharis, it wasn't Zman Ma'ariv. It's the Zman to review Kriyat Shema, after Shamkach b'chol levavcha. whenever you think that you have a love for your for someone other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only one to whom we have a full commitment is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only one to whom we have a full love is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Rav Soloveitchik has in one of the drushes that he gave at the Mizrahi Convention. He gave so many drushes, they only printed five of them. So one of the drushes, he said that there are those people who have unconditional allegiance to Medina Yisrael. So he says, you're not allowed to. The only one, that's Avodah Zarah. The only one you have unconditional allegiance to is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Medina follows the Dina HaTorah, so it's good. So we respect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we respect the Medina. If Medina does things against the Torah, so we can have unconditional allegiance to the Medina. That's Avodah Zarah. You have some dependent institution other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have allegiance to. Our allegiance and our love is only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the love that one has for his children and for his family is to the extent that it fits in with the Avas Hashem. The Gemara quotes in Sanhedrin that there was one Tana who was of the opinion that Ben Sura Mura, the conditions are so far-fetched and never was and it never will be. The father and the mother have to be the same height and the same weight and the same facial features and the same voice. Either the mother has a man's voice or the father has a woman's voice, so the whole thing is so far-fetched. How can it be? And then they have to be willing to bring their child to Bezin to give them the death penalty. If they don't bring them to Bezin, the whole thing doesn't get off the ground. So which crazy parents are going to bring their children to Bezin? So the Gemara says, if the whole mitzvah never was and never will be, other Tanaim disagree. He says, no, I was once in the cemetery and they showed me this is the kever of a Ben Suramar. One Tana says there never was a Bais HaManuga. Also the conditions are so far-fetched, never going to happen. And one Tana says it never was and never will be an Eir Nidachas. The conditions are so far-fetched. If you have one mezuzah, the Tanaim couldn't visualize. How can it be a city in Eretz that doesn't have one mezuzah? There are yeshuvim that were established before 1948 that still don't have any mezuzah. But the Tanaim couldn't visualize such a thing. A city in Eretz that doesn't have one mezuzah. You have one mezuzah, the whole din of Eir Nidachas doesn't apply. So there's either one or two or three possible mitzvahs. They never were and never were. So why were they written? So the Gemara says, Rosh v'kapal schar, learn the dinim and you get reward. So the question is, the Daf Yomi people, it takes them 7.5 years to learn the Talmud Bavli. They make a siyum on the Daf Yomi every 7.5 years. How much is there about Bais HaManuga? Very little. Maybe it's a 2 prokim in Mishnayis. That's like 2 blot Gemara. How many about Eir Nidachas? How much maximum 3 blot Gemara? The answer is 3 blot Gemara. And how much is there by Ben Sura Mora? And maybe 2-3 blot. The Perek has more than 2-3 blot Ben Sura Mora, but most of it is by Yehor Gvayava. There's very little about. So the whole thing is less than 10 blot Gemara. The whole Sacha called the Bais HaManuga with the Eir Nidachas. The whole thing is less than 10 blot. So you make the Sima Chas in 7.5 years minus 10 days. What do you need, Rosh HaKavoschav? What do you need, these Tenek? So it must be that these mitzvahs teach you something that you wouldn't know otherwise. So what are they teaching you? So I remember when we learned Sanhedrin, so Soloveitchik said, maybe that's what the Ben Sura Mora lesson is, that people shouldn't have unconditional love for their children. You should only love your children to the extent that it fits in with Avos Hashem, like the Chayav Salvavi says. But if the child is not going with Arche Hashem, he's able to survey. So you shouldn't have love for your children. It's never going to happen. Which normal parents are going to bring their child to Bezin to give them the death penalty? But that's in principle. That's the way it's supposed to be. Years ago, during the McCarthy era, they used to pilpul a lot. Nochem would be pilpuling. If you know that your spouse is spying for the Russians, for the communists, should you give over your spouse to the government? Or does your allegiance to the spouse take precedence over your allegiance to the country? Does your allegiance to the country takes? What do you mean, allegiance to the spouse? Allegiance to the spouse, if it fits in with Avodah Hashem. If the spouse is doing something wrong, then you're not supposed to have any allegiance to the spouse. That's the Pashto. So that's what the Maharal Miprag says. The Yankov Avinu is saying Kriya Shema. It wasn't Kriya Shema b'shachbacha or b'kumecha. Neither. It wasn't b'shachbacha. It was a different Kriya Shema that he was chazering in his mind. I can only love, you're only supposed to love your children and your family to the extent that it fits in with Avos Hashem. So he was chazering after Hashem l'kar b'chalavavcha. He's going to have to see whether his son Yosef is still a Shana Mitzvah. He's happy to hear that he was. But when he first met him, he didn't know yet the Vumahalt. Yeah.
this gift to me and then from the other.
That's the lesson that he learned by the father.
Religious, or is he holding on to it?
I don't know. Could be. He remembered.